Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, fella, are you ready to rock?
Have you finished your pee-pee now? Just heard a toilet flush.
Finished my wee-wees. And the thing is, I like to wash my hands with the microphone tucked under my armpit so I could still speak to you, and my headphone in and my laptop rested on top of the toilet while I wash my hands.
Mm. Well, come on. Send it home. Send it home, Wally.
Let's go. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 306 of the Flats and Shanks podcast. I'm Flats. He is...
Shanks. I think it might be your favourite number episode.
Go on.
Soixante-neuf.
Hey, you horrible brute.
I think
you
it is.
You horrible brute. Is it really?
Yeah. Mine's 007. Always has been. Don't clone my card, please.
But this is... Don't steal my suitcase. Well, it must be more than 69. We must have done hundreds by now.
Of this series.
Oh, right.
It's been a long year, boy. It's been a long year.
Fellow, hasn't it?
I think we were boshing out 2 a week at one stage because we were that bored during lockdown.
Yeah.
Ringing everyone. Christ. That stopped, hasn't it?
Christ.
No one picks up anymore.
No, God, no. And also, we don't ring them.
Where's Foxy when you need him?
Yeah, exactly.
He's in Scotland, mate.
I'm seeing bloody Foxy on Thursday.
Letting men punch women in a controlled environment. Have you seen A League of Their Own road trip where they go to Scotland?
No.
Oh, it's brilliant. They take them for a little crash course, yeah. And they're trying to do like a covert operation. So like Ramesh and Freddie and all.
Yeah.
Jack. They've got to camouflage themselves, and there's a guy, a sniper rifle with paintballs, trying to pick them off. And it's just brilliant. It's just they hit one of the guys because they see him, and Fox's like, go on, hit him again. Go on, give it another go, hit him again. And they're shooting, I think, Jack White all on the floor with a massive sniper rifle, fires paintballs.
And excruciating as well.
It's just great TV content, mate.
Were you, I don't know if you were there in time, but were you at Sarri's for Kieran Bracken's stag do to Brighton?
Oh yeah, I went, mate. I went. Didn't get invited to the wedding, which is fine, because I didn't really want to go anyway. Weddings aren't for me. Well, they weren't back then, because I didn't have a girlfriend. I was 25, so I thought I was going to live a single life forever.
Yeah.
But, I suppose then I got 50 caps and it was easy. Batting them away.
remember paintballing with Brax?
Audi TT and cleaned up.
That's right. Took your dustpan and brush in the boot just in 3. Case.
3.2 automatic. What?
What a car.
Lovely. Yeah, so go on. Yeah, I was at Brax's.
Remember paintballing him, and we got him, and he got hit so many times that in the middle that, because it was basically everyone has to catch him.
Yeah.
And he got hit so many times that he basically just gave up and just wilted and dropped on the spot and thought everyone had stopped, and everyone just emptied their cartridges on him. It was brutal. Do you remember his head, his face, his whole body and legs? He was covered, mate. It was so bad.
I don't think... Well, maybe. I was going to say, I don't think I'll ever go paintballing and karting again because all my mates are married. But
hang on.
Yeah, I know.
Hang on, fella.
Mm.
I don't know if I'd have another stag do.
You don't get a choice, mate.
That's true. Yeah.
You know when you go paintballing, you're split into teams, basically, aren't you? And I don't think there's anything funnier than hitting one of your own when they're in front trying to hide.
No, it's the best, isn't it? That's why I'd be crap at Call of Duty, because I'd be shooting my mates.
It's just that because they don't expect it, do they? Cause I remember doing it to the Ben Evans. We've probably talked about this before. It's just the funniest thing ever. He didn't know where it was coming from. but there we go. All right. I have to tell you this, mate.
Okay.
Have you watched Time on BBC?
Right. But I'm not going to do that thing where I say bad things, right? The answer is yes, but I want to quickly tell you something quick about it. Mm-hmm. Which is good, because I know you want to tell us what you think, but I thought, what's that? That looks all right. Two nights ago, press play on episode one, and I thought, oh, it's got those two in it. Awesome. Stephen Graham, Sean Bean, brilliant. I've seen that Scouse actor, the horrible bloke, in a couple of things before. He's really good. I was like, oh, this is great. This is grim and bleak, but it's great. And I was like, oh, it must be some old thing, because it almost feels like this is 10 years old or 15 years old, this series, but it's new. Oh my God. And I've only seen one, but wow, it's good.
Well, let me shock you, mate. They're all available on BBC iPlayer.
I know, boy, I haven't had time.
I watched the other two yesterday, and brilliant. Brilliantly written, filmed, casted. Very emotional watch. It's one of the
best
things.
Does it get better, two and three as well?
It's one of the best things I've watched this year.
Tommy.
I know. Within the last 24 months, I would say. I liked it that much. And
Tommy.
It's different to what you're normally watching. You know, just the way it's written.
Yeah.
But I thought I couldn't find any faults with it. And I know you will. I know you will. You'll see a bit of Brandon and say, well, you know, how can a prison guard wear a Ralph Lauren jersey when he's on minimal wage? I don't know. You know, that's the type of guy you are. You know,
I think they get paid a lot more than minimum wage, those guys.
Yeah, they do.
I got a mate.
I think it's about 30 grand.
I've got a mate from home who's one of those, and he's on a decent old screw.
According to the film, all right, their series.
Your mate Jim Walker was one of those. I think they do all right.
A couple of things were brilliant in it. Like Sean Bean, what an actor.
What an actor, Christ. An actor.
I remember seeing him in Sharp. Remember that? That was the original.
Yep. Never watched it.
And also Stephen Graham. He's actually tiny.
When he walks up to that wardrobe?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Yeah. But he is... Someone put on Twitter, does Stephen Graham ever have an off day? Is he ever not good? You're like, no, he's amazing every single time.
Mm.
There was that thing I watched, was it the Pembrokeshire Murders, where he was Taff or something, and he was doing a Welsh accent, and you think, well, that's quite tough for actors, the accents thing. I really think that, but he is amazing.
I remember seeing him at a golf day, actually. He's tiny. Because it's him, I had to go up and say, like, hello, and like, sort of love watching him, and he told me he's not happy. So which of the seven dwarves are you then, mate?
God.
Just trying to think of short jokes, mate.
I know you were a fella. I wondered at the start, and I was hammering this a bit. You were done, boy.
I know.
That's good. That's good. Good for
but
you.
He was staying at the hotel anyway.
I was watching Sean Bean?
A hot sink. Yeah, go on. Still going.
I was watching Sean Bean. I was thinking, like, he underacts, doesn't he? Like, he's so.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, because I just got back from doing the highlight show with Derders, right? And we'll talk about it in a minute, but there's this end to the Leicester-Bristol game.
Talk about it now. You don't have to talk about the game. Talk about it now. Get off your chest.
Okay, well, no, the end of the Leicester-Bristol game was controversial. And there was loads to talk about. And Derders said, right, we need to nail what we're going to say and all that sort of stuff. And I said, I'll be fine. Just ask what you want and I'll answer it. He's like, okay. So he just goes and he's written a script, but I obviously don't read his scripts because they're gibberish. And
probably written in quill as well, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so anyway, he says, right, go. And we basically have about 2 minutes and 20 seconds or 2 minutes and 30 seconds at a push, including his in and out, which is
long.
long, and it has to be because he's introduced the next game, list of commentators, ramifications of the games because the league's closing in. So how it works out is I've got probably less than a minute to actually explain it all. And it's like, right, we can't get this down below 7 at the moment, minutes, or 4 to 6 minutes. And it's like, right, this is, we need to just basically, there's some stuff you've got to make a decision, you've got to cut it out, that's that.
Yep.
So, but we're kind of going for it, and I'm speaking as quick as I can. I'm like one of those rappers, like speed rappers.
Yeah.
In the end, I'm like, I finish it, and like, and that was, you know, off to the AJ Bell, and I'm like, properly. Like
here we go again with the beats. Got your head, Bob and I jump from his seats. So this is what you want in over there. Throw your hands a bit in the air because you know you're bringing the sound so unique. Everybody's moving, everybody's grooving. Get now with 5 of them, come your way. Move to the left, now you shake it to the right because you know you've got to keep the party pumping through the night. Check it out, you're 7-6. Five. Like that, was it?
Yeah, just like that.
I don't know how I know that.
You know all that crap stuff. You know, like you,
Five aren't crap, mate.
No, you know random.
Change the music industry, those boys.
Oh, I just said you know all that crap stuff. My Apple Watch said to me, "That's not nice." My point is, I then come home and watch that, and I'm like, oh, he's got so much time to just wait. You can imagine the producers or directors or whatever who are like, right, we actually need to make sure this fits into 3 1-hour slots. You can imagine them thinking, Shawnee, hurry up, mate. Some of his answers are like, okay. And you're like, he's so slow in one sense, but he's brilliant, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, it reminded me of how rushed I'd been that day. That's the point.
So, shall we have the Blade Runner uncut, Aliens uncut version? Do you want to give us 7 minutes? And I'll do abs while you do 7 minutes.
I'm doing 6 minute abs now. I'm doing no minute abs.
Let's just go on. It's the biggest
basically
talking point,
Tommy,
of the weekend.
There's loads of stuff going on from that game, but basically there were a couple of pens leading up to Bristol defending their line. Leicester 3 points behind. First half wasn't actually very good. I don't care what anyone says. The second half
fast
was.
Forward, mate. Let's fast forward to it.
Yeah, and Leicester are going for the win at home. Big win it would have been and all that stuff. And a couple of penalties. Then there's a scrum to Leicester. So Leicester have been dominating the scrum since John Arfoa was tactically substituted at half-time.
Yes.
Now, he might have been substituted to preserve him for the later games, but he was not brought off injured. There is a difference. So he's old and he's amazing, but he wasn't injured, right? So they bring up, so basically there is, lots of fans have gone mad and say, why wasn't it a penalty try? I think one or two Leicester players may have been very, very upset after the final whistle because it hadn't been a penalty try. However, I think what I'm about to say is right. And I said it on telly and then checked it with a ref. And it turns out I am right, according to a ref that does a lot of Premiership games. And so this once you've conceded a couple of penalties on your line, then there's a scrum to the opposition. The scrum is kind of treated as a separate entity. So you don't necessarily start from scratch on zero pens, but you kind of start from scratch on zero pens, right? If it hasn't been a ridiculous number beforehand. So loose head penalty against Jake Woolmore, another loose head penalty against Jake Woolmore for Bristol. He then gets put on a personal warning. So if he does anything else, he's going off. If he gets pinged again. Third penalty is against Tetaz Shaparo, the Argentinian. That is his first penalty he's conceded, but it puts Bristol on a team warning. So that is personal warning, team warning. Fourth penalty, Bristol player sent to the bin, Tetaz Shaparo. So that, I think, is legitimate scrum refereeing. Now, for all the Leicester fans that are irate, and some of them have said John Arfoa worked an angle, he shoved early. Okay, I would argue that one of those penalties, if you go back and look at it, against Jake Woolmore, I said it on telly, on Channel 5, if you watch Joe Hayes, the Leicester tight head, where he ends up after that dominant scrum, he works such an angle that he ends up going almost in front of Ellis Genge, his own loose head. He cuts, we call it cutting the throat. He goes right across the scrum, cuts the hooker's throat, we used to call it, almost with his head. And the angle, for me, is like, well, he could easily have been penalised there, easily. So it's not as cut and dry as all that. Anyway, then there's the, not in any order, but Andy Urin, did he go and take the ball out early? I expect Jasper Visa would have got his foot back around it and controlled it. However, at that point, he hadn't yet done that. I think it's so tight, but I reckon he gets away with it. And I think if you're a Leicester fan and Wigglesworth or Youngs does that, you're happy with it if you're honest. I think that is so tight. But what ultimately happens is Leicester's super strength, their scrum in the game, because they're battering Tetar Shaparo since he came on. Genji battered him. So he's just crumbling, the Argentinian. He might have 62 caps, but I'm afraid he's not quite up to it at Premiership level at the moment. He's getting chewed up. So they have a yellow card. They then have an opportunity in Pat Lam's mind. This is what I think. So if I'm wrong, fine. They have an Pat Lam season opportunity to take away Leicester's super strength that is about to win them the game by taking away their scrum, making it uncontested. He comes down and says, John Arfo is injured. And they say, hang on, which he shouldn't be doing, I don't think. So I think it should be the team manager who registers, signs the cards or whatever. He then claims Arfo is injured. This is my opinion. I think he is making it up in order to keep Arfoa off. Borthwick calls him out and calls Arfoa out. I think Wigglesworth came over as well and gave a bit as well, hence the little nudge at the end that started the fight, I think. Wigglesworth not known to be backwards in coming forwards. And that's what I think happens. And it's all this negotiations going on. The ref reminds Pat Lam, you do realise if the scrum goes uncontested, you lose another player. So you'll go down to 13. So yes, and you have to have 8 in the scrum. So it'd be 7 against 5 in the back line, and you're 3 points down, that's the last play. 3 points up and it's the last play. So one of two things happens. Either Pat Lam says, okay, fine, John, you can go on. Or what I think happens is John Arfoa has basically, he's sitting there, and you've played in games, boy, where this has happened. Wales did it against Georgia, mate. But I played in games for years, and I'm not going to be horrible and name names, but especially against Wasps in the era where they were winning a lot. They did this all the time. One of the main reasons two props on the bench is now a thing, because they were constantly doing it. I literally watched my mate who played for Wasps, someone have a word in his ear and say, you need to come off injured, go down injured, you're coming off, we're going to make the scrums uncontested, and him saying, no, I can't do it. And them saying, get off, you've been told, you've got to do it now. And he looked at me, basically was like, sorry, mate. Walked off, scrums uncontested. We then couldn't bash him in the scrums in the semi-final of the Premiership, right? Missed out. So that's when the rules changed, right? So they were doing it all the time. I think John Arfoa is sitting there thinking, I can't have this. I will always know, they will always know that I faked it to take away Genji's power or something. So he just stands up, has a glass of water, has a drink of water, then says to Steve Borthwick. Borthwick was saying, well done, well done, well done, for lying and cheating is what Borthwick was saying, I think. And then John Arfoa says to him, well, you won't be saying well done when I get the penalty. Have you seen that Thug Life thing that's going around?
Loved it.
Brilliant, man. Brilliant. So John Arfoa just walks on. They're still arguing, mind. John said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm on. Gumshoe out the sock. Wanders in. Does the job. He's the goat. He's the king. I think he saves Pat Lam. Actually, is what I think. Not that Pat Lam would have been sacked or sent to prison, but I think he saves his bacon in a PR sense, because I think we saw cracks there. Mm. They're a great team. They clearly have a great time. They're lovely to watch. Pat Lam does an amazing job as director of rugby or head coach there, whichever one he is. But geez, he's doing a good job. That, for me, this is the key thing. Two key things. Borth has called him out. John Arfoa couldn't cope with pretending he was injured when he wasn't, because he's not that sort of bloke. He's a warrior. He might have all the silky skills and the chat and all that. He's a warrior above all else. Also, that would never, ever happen to Rob Baxter, ever.
Mm.
Done.
I'm not sure how long that was.
20 minutes.
But thorough. Very good.
All right.
Yeah.
I loved it when I was commentating, mate. I love all that.
You're a pundit.
Yeah, but pundits have to say it quick. The fight at the end, it's funny that Durders was like, oh, it's one of the ugliest ends to a game. It's nothing, mate. Genji and Nathan Hughes shove each other they bash into the cameraman, I think, which makes it look worse.
Yeah.
It's just John Arfoa says to Wiggy, have some of that, gives him a nudge, just a nudge, like a little chest or a shoulder.
Yeah.
Wiggy throws him on the floor, judo chop.
Well done.
Big pile on, no one's hitting anyone. And I was like, I said to Durders, even live on telly, I said, I quite like it. Mm. I don't mind that.
So, to conclude, Pat Lam's tried to work the system.
Yep.
Hasn't worked. I think. Been called out. And who was the ref? Was it Tempest?
Yeah.
Was he giving him too many options, basically?
Nope. No. Ian Tempest, I've gone back and looked, and I've also spoken to Barnsley, Wayne Barnes, about it. Ian Tempest handled that so well.
Yeah.
Because he's like, no. And Pat Lamb, what I thought was really shoddy, was Pat Lamb saying, if he gets injured, it's on you, the ref. And the ref's like, no. You've written him down as tactical.
Mm.
That's you. It's not me. So I thought that was shoddy. And Ian Tempest put the pressure back onto Bristol, which is where it should be. It's not the ref's decision.
What I would have liked is if Pat Lamb said he was injured, Ian Tempest said, right, that's fine. Let's go. And then told him last minute, right, one off, one on. You told me he's injured now. You told me he's injured. I'm taking your word for it. That's it.
Yeah. But also, what no one else mentioned was that Bristol have Jan Thomas, who was also tactically removed, I believe, who started at loose head, who has played tight head for Bristol.
Yeah.
In the first team. So they had another option, which no one mentioned that. But it's like, well, if John can't come on, there is another one. You know, and it's like, nobody seemed to mention that. But
it was drama. It's what we want. Not always.
Nobody was turning off, were they?
No, not at all. Whilst the game I did at the weekend, Blue Zebre.
Talk to me.
I think there could have been a few people turning off. Do you know how long the second half took?
No.
67 minutes.
Captain's challenges?
21 of those minutes, I believe, were spoken by Ian Davis, the TMO.
Oh,
Captain's
mate.
Challenge, mate. Horrific.
I feel sorry for the TMO fella.
Yeah, absolutely horrific. Because the amount of time it takes to troll through or troll backwards, trying to find.
Scroll, not troll.
Yeah.
You're all knobs. You're a knob.
Scroll through backwards to find out where the incident happened, what occurred, to go through it. It takes so much time. And then you've got you've basically got 30 referees on the field then, 31.
Yeah.
Just trying to find anything that's the matter with it. You know, and you can only go back for foul play. So obstruction, you can't go back. You know,
knock-ons.
It's got to be foul play. And the boys are just, it's gone bizarre. Bearing in mind, right, this game had nothing, no bearing on it. You know, neither team were going to qualify at top of the Rainbow Cup. You know, it was dead rubber game. And you thought, you're going to get an open game, you're going to get a fast game. Not at all. Not at all. I think both teams desperately wanted to win so they can enjoy their Super Sunday, you know, a little bit more.
Yeah.
Zebre gave away 20 plus penalties, 3 yellow cards, 1 red card. It was appalling, mate. It was amateurs, proper amateur hour.
Oh.
You know, if you search amateurs on the internet.
Well, no, you won't get that.
10 down, you're going to get Zebre.
You won't get that.
My favourite.
Is that what you search, is it? Yeah.
But by the end, because if you have a captain's challenge, right, if it's unsuccessful, it's gone. And by the end, Ian Davis said to Ben Blaine, the ref, he said, Ben, both captain's challenges are now finished. Thank God. It was
brilliant.
It was, but it was such a poor game. It just kills games. What do we want to see? Do you know, it annoys me sometimes when you see, especially early on in games, teams just plodding to the line out. What team really wants to play slow? No one. You want to see energy. You want to see scrums reset quickly. You want to see tempo at line outs. It was appalling. And part of me thinks Zebre were that bad. You know, they dragged the Blues down to that level a little bit. And that does happen when you play poor teams. Sometimes it happens. Other teams just put them to bed and kill them. But Michael Bradley, the Zebre coach, was appalled as well with
the
captain's challenge. Yeah. You know, it's no good. But I can see, I'm glad, you know, we've tried it. I trialled it because
now we know.
Now we know how bad it is and never to use it again. You know, some of the rules I like, you know, the touch the ball down over the try line, you know, it's a drop out 22. Quite like that. Becomes a bit like rugby league. Just get your big ball carries on the halfway line, catch the ball, and then just truck it up.
Here we go. Adrian Morley.
Josh Turnbull's good, mate. And he's in the Welsh squad for the summer test, which is...
Yeah, I'm glad he's in. I like him.
Really good, mate. He's been so good the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And
Ashidi and Yohan Lloyd, the two tens.
Yep.
I couldn't see any... Oh, no, Jared Evans.
Yep.
Yohan
Lloyd is, I think he's cover 15 and 10. You know, he's utility. And you can have him, he can come on the wing, he can come on at 15, he can come on at 10. So being versatile like that is massive for a bench
people
spot.
Say it didn't help James Hook, but he did get 80 caps.
Yeah, he did. He did.
So he went all right in the end.
Ben Thomas is in as well.
Yeah, happy with that.
He's been playing well. Defensively, needs a bit of work. Like, to play 12, you have to hit hard. You have to be good in the contact. You have to be able to have the ability to slow ball down. But 12s nowadays, a lot more is expected from him. Because if you think, like, 15 years ago, a 12...
You know, Kevin Maggs, boy.
Yeah, their job was to give you gain line, was to hit angles, was to set up first phase for you over the gain line.
Yeah.
Which is still true now, but you expect a lot more from now because more moves are run off 12, a little bit wider out, because it's a lot easier to get around defences and a lot easier to isolate wingers who are a little bit further back in the defensive line than your 13. So you play around that. But you have to have the ability now of taking it flat, putting blind passes, being a distributor, and he's really good at that.
Yeah.
But, you know, 50% of the game is that. The other 50% is defensive as well. So, not the finished article, but deserves his spot. Tame Basham, back row at...
great name.
Yeah, at the Dragons, he's in. Roger Williams, 9 at Dragons, he's in. Been playing some good rugby for them, captains them. So, John Fox, leading.
Skipper. Living out.
That's nice for him.
Yeah, it's good.
It is. You know, you've not made the Lions tour, so next best thing, you can be captain and always
bloody
have
well
that to your name.
He's bloody well's captain.
Mm. I wonder how long he's going to stay in there. Mate, horrible news for Andrew Porter.
Oh, isn't it awful? Mm. I mean, obviously, we're pleased for Carl Sinclair, but that is the first thing I think is poor Andrew Porter there.
Yeah. And you think of all the players that have been selected and missed out. You know, especially never done it before. You know, so
was your first or second?
Tomas O'Leary, second it was. Tomas O'Leary, Alan Quinlan. You know, there's been a few, hasn't there, leading up to him.
Will Greenwood, saw Will Greenwood yesterday, and he was talking about Peter Cloessy.
Yeah.
So they went to Weybridge for a pre tour training camp. Pulled his hammy. Mm. That was it. Never left Weybridge.
Balch did it in 2005. He was selected, and
oh yeah.
Injured, couldn't go. Love him.
He's never got over it, is he?
No.
Such an intense bloke. I reckon that's why.
Yeah.
What else the frig happened? Well, Quinn sent half a second team to Sale. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Have you seen the South African squad? Speaking of Sale, I don't know why that jogged my memory.
Someone told me the other day. Who was it? Oh yeah, a friend said. He was listening to the cricket. He's a famous cricketing line. A commentator and a co-commentator. And the commentator asked the co-commentator, he says, why are there three Englishmen lining up in England's first 11 at the cricket? And the guy replies, because they couldn't find another 8. It's like, I want that. By the way, this little bloke walked past with a South African accent the other day. I was at Franklin's Gardens with Durders. And he stopped and said hello, and he had a pint. How you doing? Yeah, a bit hungover, but hair of the dog. And enjoy your day, guys. And he stopped to say hi to Dirt. He's like, see you, mate. I said, he looks familiar. He said, that's Alan Lamb.
Lammy.
Bloody Lemmy.
Randomly, mate, and I don't know why. I'm not teeing you up now for a joke. I have met him. And we're Facebook friends.
That is so nice.
No idea why.
Are you still on Facebook?
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
I know why. You love keep in touch, don't you?
No, I just like... birthday reminders, mate.
Yeah, that's it.
Really good like that.
But yeah, the old... that Chris Hemsworth, is that his name? Meme that went round. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good.
The small calves, brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys, fella, those South African boys at Sale are doing the job.
Well, they're in, aren't they?
They're doing
Jasper
the job.
Jasper Visa is in as well. And apparently, it's really difficult to get selected for Springboks... when you've not played from before, when you're outside of South Africa. But he's broken a mould.
Well, Dwayne Vermeulen's got injured.
He's still in the squad, though. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think they've got to bring in a bit of cover. But still, it's very good. And he's... The one thing he would say is that he does struggle with the old discipline a little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
He's got a lot of power, but he struggles to control it.
Francois Steyn is in.
So he could do it. He's won 2 World Cups, and he could now be the first player to win 2 World Cups and 2 Lions series.
And I've gone blank now. Who's the 10? Won it for him in 2009.
Moyna Steyn.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Crazy, isn't it?
34 or something. 36 now.
So. Yeah, 12 years ago. Nailed the conversion, didn't he? From penalty from Ronald Gara. Taken.
You see, I think, fella, that shows you how they want to play.
Yeah. Well, Pollard is key. Like, that was all the way through the World Cup. You know, if Jantjies plays, then they're a total different team. They don't have that stability. They don't have that tactical nous. They don't have a guy. They've got a bit of a maverick there, and he can properly mess up as well.
But, well, he's unreliable, isn't he?
Pollard is proper operator.
Yeah.
Proper steady player. Puts him in positions. Kicks unbelievably well, which is massive for them, isn't it?
I remember hearing, and this could be absolute balls, but I remember hearing that one or maybe two Premiership clubs offered Pollard £1 million a year.
Really?
And he said no, because he had a better offer in France.
Wow.
You imagine turning down £1 million a year, boy? To play rugby, to make a few tackles and kick a few goals. The world's gone mad, mate.
We're born in the wrong era, weren't we?
Well, compared to the lads before us, we were born in the right era. Yeah, it always works that way.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
I read something quite interesting a few weeks ago now on why, like, is this, long story short, it's like, you look at the women's game now and you think there are some pros, it's starting to turn pros, still some amateurs and all that sort of stuff. And I read one article by a female player, I think, or a coach, and it was like, you know, I'm on this much, or she was on this much, and they put me on a contract of this much. And it's like, as a player, completely understandably, all you want is as much money as you can get, but also enough money that money isn't a problem. So if you're getting paid like the lads get paid in the Prem, money's not a problem, or it shouldn't be, because the average salary is 100, 120 grand, whatever. So, but the women's team are like, right, we want to be paid this much because that means I haven't got to have another job and all that sort of stuff. That's all fine, except what happens is if you start professionalism from the start point of we need to give the players as much as we can, and we need to, the players want this, so let's try and give them what they want so that they'll all turn pro with us and come along with us. I think you're potentially setting yourself up for a fall, because if you think like the Premiership clubs alone, I know COVID is obviously the pandemic knackered everyone, but hardly anyone is not losing millions of pounds as a club, right? So they're all losing loads of money. So the obvious place to pull money back, and players hate ex-players saying stuff like this. For me, it's like, I read this thing and it was like, you are paying players too much. So it's all right to say, well, we need to get 50% more sponsorship. But the people who are giving you the sponsorship know what they're paying for. They can quantify it, and they say, well, we're paying you 750 grand a year to be your shirt sponsor or whatever. We're not going to start giving you 1.25 million because you want to pay your players more. That's not how it works. That's your problem. We're giving you the market rate. So what it boils down to is, I think they are paying players too much money. And if the women's game goes that way, they'll knacker themselves before they start, and they'll become yet another loss-making new professional sports league or whatever it is, organisation or set up.
Yeah.
So it's like you
sound like when rugby came first professional, like in, what is it, 96, 97. You know, there was just stupid wages out there, but it was unsustainable. And
yeah, you had boys on 250 grand a year in 95.
All at Richmond.
What are you doing? Yeah, exactly it. I wonder why Ben Clark moved from Bath to Richmond. But shit, he was good.
Scott Quinnell, Andy Moore.
Exactly it. And it's kind of like you had lads on massive cash when there was no money in the game at all. So you've...
Gary Powell.
Like it's... Yeah. But, you know, it's quite an interesting one. So from the women's standpoint, I don't know the financial modelling, but it's like you'd almost start from a standpoint, what are we bringing in? How many tickets are we selling? How many jerseys are we selling? How much do our TV rights get us? Yeah.
You know, you have to do a P&L, basically.
What are the TV rights worth? Because people talk about Premier League football being unsustainable and stuff. Well, it's more unsustainable than Premiership rugby because the numbers are bigger, but you've still got... How many in Prem? The Prem, is it just Chiefs that make money or whatever? You've got 10 or 11 clubs losing money. Yeah, 10 or 11 clubs losing money, and it's big numbers.
But you're gonna start to need base rates, aren't you, for, you know, an average wage for women that's sustainable, and work back from that, because I couldn't tell you, mate, because I don't know enough about it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But you asked me over the weekend, you said, have a look at London Irish versus Wasps and have a look at the Hepatuma yellow card.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think.
Go on then.
Red card.
Yep.
Two upright. It's exactly what you're trying to get away from.
He did another one recently.
That's not even a tackle technique. And you get away with that sometimes. A lot of the time you get away with it, but you still run that risk of that if contact is made to the head, you're going off.
Yeah.
Because that tackle is a lot easier to make, really, than some, going low.
Yeah.
So anyone that tackles like that, that is the risk you take. And I thought he was really fortunate, actually, to stay on the field.
I did, yeah. Tom Willis is good, wasn't he?
Mm, really good. I loved him seeing a little highlight of, well, not highlight, the video of him after going up and giving his brother Jack a hug.
Yeah.
That's proper,
Dan Robson
that's
did
proper
it as well.
Brotherly love.
Lovely.
I didn't
that,
see that bit. But never thought Wasps were going to come back from half time. But that's such a London Irish thing to do, though, isn't it? Play really well and lose it right to death.
Yeah, it really is. Mm. It really is. They play Bristol in the final round, and Bristol could put out a second team because they've got a home semi guaranteed. In fact, you'd expect them to. London Irish could go down there and do them,
yeah.
Or they could lose a game they should have won.
Yeah, and if a team was going to do that, have such a lead and play so well and lose it in the second half, it was going to be Irish. And you know, like, they're not a poor team, though. That's the big thing. You know, they just lapse concentration. You know, they cannot put an 80 minute performance together. They can go 60, and but after that, you know, they leak so many tries, which again, I don't mind, because a lot of teams have that philosophy of, right, we're going to leak tries, but we're just going to score more than you. And
like
teams do that. Quins do it, Exeter do it, Wasps to a certain extent do it. But London Irish at the moment the wrong side of that, you know, leaking more than they're scoring. Mm. So I feel sorry for them in a way, but there's no relegation this year, so you know, at least they've got the comfort of being able to build for next year. I do like Rona in the centre. I do like Hassan
really
Collins.
Good, isn't he? Yeah,
really good as well. And you know, when you look at Wasps as well, I think Jacob Mubanger is constantly improving. You know, from when you look at a year ago to where he is now, I see a massive difference in just his control, his decision making. More often than not now, he's probably making the right decisions. Real threat, ball in hand. Josh Bassett, always good.
Every time.
Marcus Watson, a little bit selfish, but made up for it with some great hands, catching that ball low, going over in the corner.
Yeah. Lovely break, though.
But yeah.
He did butcher it, El Bochero.
He did.
Nice runner. What a lovely runner. Wowzers.
Yeah. Any other games that really stood out?
Good question, Tom.
Northampton, Exeter.
What? That was a hell of a game. It was a weird one because David Ribbons, which this is proper shocker, he's got a red card in 14 minutes. And I reckon he will get a 6-week ban reduced to 3 potentially. And I think he will miss the two England tests in the summer, because, or at least one of them. I think, no, probably miss both. He'll miss round 22 of the Prem and the two England tests, I think. And I reckon he would definitely have been capped this summer, which is, he knew as well, he was broken. I felt so sorry for him because he's such a good player.
Mm.
Like, oh man, he's so good. He's a form lock in the league.
Yep.
Really good player, man. But it was weird. Like, first start, so they lose him and they just Dan Bigger was on another level, mate. It's the best game he's played for Saints. In fact, it's the best I've seen him play. He was so good, mate. He was so good. He tore Chiefs apart. And
it's horrific, mate, sometimes, because you see someone like Dan Bigger leaving Wales and you don't want him to, because you want him to stay at the Ospreys. You want him to improve, you know, the Rainbow, their Pro 14, Pro 16, whatever it's going to be called, because he will, because he's a good player. But then you see him move across to Northampton and you see him playing the best rugby of his life and you're thinking, oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a nightmare because we want him in Wales, but personal development, and good for Wales, good for the Lions.
Yeah, made the right choice. Worked for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the more I look at it, right, tell me if you think I'm talking rubbish. Good fly-offs, right? You need the nice touches and all that. The more I watch, I think the more they need to be brave. The best fly-halves are just the bravest ones. And that is partly physically. So will you go hard at the line?
Yeah.
Will you hit people hard when they come at you?
Yeah.
So are you brave in the contact? And then also, are you brave enough to have proper courage in your convictions and not speculate when you got the ball? Because Marcus Smith just goes for it.
Yeah.
Dan Bigger just goes for it. And if you run into them, all right, Marcus Smith isn't going to batter anyone, but he's brave. And Dan Bigger is so brave. And I think to myself, like, that is what separates them from other guys running around in pro rugby who were kind of talented from the age of 15 and kind of got through it and are still earning a decent wage. And they'll leave and no one else will really remember them.
Same at 15, mate. It's the same at 15. You have to be brave to make those last-ditch tackles, to take the ball under pressure, knowing that a hit's going to come. And the best 15s that we've seen are the bravest ones. And I agree. Same with 10. There was part at the end of the game where Nairovaro, he's carrying hard. I can't remember, it might be a tap penalty or it might just be phase play. But there's a moment where just Kirsten comes out the line and absolutely flies into him, stops him dead. Yeah. Like, that's probably...
I think they call him and Vermeulen, Jack Vermeulen, the Bang Brothers, or the Bash Brothers. The Bash Brothers, I think. They just twat people.
That is brave, because you know Nairovaro is going to carry with power, a lot more power than a forward would carry
I do think to myself sometimes, though, he is a proper giant, Nairovaro. Like, he's as big as Nadola.
I do sometimes wonder,
why doesn't he run as hard as Tim Marner-Harrison? Why doesn't he run as hard as Mikey Hayward in that team? And he doesn't run as hard as Rory Hutchinson. I'm convinced he doesn't. Maybe he's one of those guys a bit like Gusker who is moving faster than he looked like he was moving. I don't know. But I do sometimes think, if you had the right attitude, I'm sure he has, but if you had a killer edge, oh my God. But sometimes think he goes...
Fitness?
You know, goes down too easy, I sometimes think.
Big man, hard to get fit, hard to stay fit for long periods.
Yeah, I mean, he is. Yeah, and it's easy to say, well, lose a bit of weight then. But actually, if you are naturally huge, it is very difficult to not be huge. Then if you start changing your body shape, you will get injured. You know, we've seen it with guys who are desperate to get weight off and guys who are desperate to get weight on their whole careers. It doesn't always, but it can result in getting hurt quite a lot. You know,
Connie Laws was good, mate, the breakdown.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of his hits too.
Yeah. A lot of people might have been saying, you know, why is this... How's this guy in the Lions? Hasn't played much. There we are.
Does it all. As Victor Matfield said, he's the complete lock. He's such a good player.
He played back row at the weekend.
I know. Victor Matfield said that, so it's true.
It's crazy. Like, I saw an interview from Courtney Laws, and he's saying, you know, when you play second row, and you know, you get a jackal or big carry, then people are like saying, wow, that's amazing. And, you know, second row does that. It's, when he does the same thing in back row, it sort of just goes under the radar. You know, there's a lot more expectation for him in the back row to do these things. Whilst if you play second row, they don't expect too much. You know, you catch your line outs, you hit rucks, you push hard in the scrum, and anything else is a bit of a bonus, which is strange, really.
But Courtney Laws, my favourite Courtney Laws stat, which I've told you five times, is that he's only ever been done for a high tackle once in his whole career, which was on his Saints debut. Now, also in that game, it was interesting. So, Saints battered them in the first half, even though they were a man down after 40 minutes, battered them at the breakdown. Second half, I don't know if it was planned, if it was just because they were tired, or if they planned it because they thought they were going to get tired. 14 men in the sun. They just stopped competing at the breakdown for loads of that second half. Mm. And they gave Chiefs so much ball. It's like, well, what do you expect's going to happen?
Yeah.
I was thinking, pile in, lads. You were doing a job.
In the first half, Exeter couldn't go anywhere. Kind of keep the ball for three or four phases before turnover or forced mistake. Yeah, I agree. But it's difficult, isn't it, to keep that intensity up for such a long period when you're down to 14 men as well. But I'm covering this weekend, mate. Scarlets Edinburgh, last game of the Rainbow Cup. Nothing on it.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to do any prep, mate. I'm just going to wing it.
As if. You couldn't not do any prep. You couldn't do it.
I might look at the teams.
Yeah. But we got that weird one this weekend where it's round 22. Every game kicks off at 3 o'clock. So you've got to decide what's got the most riding on it. And
well, the top four are already decided, aren't they?
They're done, yeah, but there's home semis to be decided and no one's won an away semi in 5 years.
Exeter Sale's probably the big one, though, isn't it? Because those two might face each other.
It is, except Chiefs need 1 point to guarantee a home semi. So Sale will probably send a second team or possibly send a second team, which ruins it a bit. But you've got Wasps-Leicester and that could knacker someone in European terms. You know, and you've got Bath Saints could be a decent game. Bath's European qualification could hang on it, but Saints will be without Bigger, without Ribbons. And it's Bath's only game in front of fans, so you'd imagine they'll put a big one on. And I don't know. I think probably the Rico is probably got the most hanging on it.
All right. Well,
we'll see, boy. Yeah. And then I'm doing the first leg of the Championship final playoff on Sunday.
Oh, my
on
company.
Your channel.
Yeah.
Premier Sport, yeah.
What time is that?
About 4, isn't it?
Well, I might watch it after mine.
Come along, send me some feedback.
Watch mine first, though, all right? And then watch Flats's.
All positive feedback, welcome,
And then we'll work out who's the best after. Playing golf on Thursday, can't wait. A few beers after.
Oh, wow.
Well, if a few is 12.
11? Christ. You bloody bonkers. You'll be off.
All right, mate. Well, I think that will do.
All right, lads. Keep going, yeah.
How many have we got? 3 or 4 pods left? I keep saying this. I probably should say it at the start before people zone out and turn off. But review us, will you? Give us some feedback. Let us know what you like, what you dislike.
They're all gone.
All right. Well, anyway, you say goodbye, mate, because you're the best at it.
Hey, thanks for joining us, guys. And hey, if you want to leave a review, do. If you don't, that's fine by us. We'll see you next week. From me, David, and from him, Tom. It's goodbye.
If that was your radio voice, mate, I would have.
You'd be in, wouldn't
over.
You?
I'd turn over.
Oh,
mate. It's too smashy and nicey.
All right, keep your ears open and eyes open for some fake laughs on the telly this week, mate. All right, because they're breaking me a bit at the moment.
See you later.
Cheers, boy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.